Have you ever wondered why certain words make us gasp or lower our voices? Nine Nasty Words takes us on a fascinating journey through English profanity, revealing how our taboos have shifted from religious blasphemy to bodily functions to slurs against marginalized groups. What makes these words so powerful isn't their meaning, but their transgression, saying what we're told we shouldn't. These linguistic outcasts tell us more about human psychology and social evolution than perhaps any other part of language. As our values shift from religious piety to bodily privacy to social justice, our profanity evolves alongside us, creating a perfect linguistic fossil record of what society considers sacred or profane at any given moment. Damn and hell occupy an awkward position in our profanity hierarchy today, classified as bad but hardly offensive. These words once carried genuine power as religious taboos, with writers substituting D rather than spelling them out. When David O. Selznick wanted Rhett Butler's famous line in Gone with the Wind, he simply had the motion picture production code amended. What made these words taboo was their connection to sacred oaths. In medieval society, swearing meant making solemn promises to God, explaining why taking the Lord's name in vain appears before murder in the commandments. This religious origin created euphemisms like zounds from by his wounds, gadzooks from God's hooks, and jeepers creepers disguising Jesus Christ. Our culture's discomfort with bodily functions seems historically strange. In a 1933 film, Ginger Rogers avoids saying belly for tummy, despite this being an era when damn and hell were acceptable, revealing peculiar bodily taboos. Despite myths claiming shit originated as a shipping acronym, the word has ancient roots in Old English before 1000 CE, tracing to Proto-Indo-European ske, meaning cut off. In medieval England, shit was used as casually as poop is today. Living alongside animals, people had little reason for prudishness about bodily functions. This changed after the Reformation, when Protestantism emphasized avoiding sin through personal discipline, casting the body as waywardly inclined. Even in progressive Montessori classrooms, the F word crosses a serious line. The FCC's condemnation of Bono's unbleeped fucking brilliant at the 2003 Golden Globes demonstrates this word's enduring power. Fuck has mysterious origins. Its earliest confirmed use comes from a monk's 1528 annotation calling someone a fucking abbot, spelling out fucking while abbreviating damned, showing how profanity shifted from religious matters to bodily functions. The word appears in medieval names like Roger Fuck by the Navel, 1310, and Henry Fuck Beggar, late 1200s. Medieval England used sexual terms casually, more concerned with profaning God than body parts. After appearing in 13th century records, fuck vanished from print while thriving in speech, disappearing from dictionaries between 1795 and 1965. The word's distinctive sound contributes to its staying power. Its single syllable, ending in a consonant, creates a satisfying utterance that outlasted competitors like sard and swiv. It shows remarkable versatility, expressing destruction, deception, dismissal, and authenticity. In casual speech, it's evolving toward becoming a question word, with "what the fuck is that?" condensing to "fuck's that." Similarly, shit has evolved beyond its literal meaning to represent noxiousness, authenticity, denigration, and humble possessions. Why do we call certain equines by the same term as buttocks? It's a linguistic accident. The animal ass has ancient origins, while the anatomical ass evolved from arse with completely different etymology. British English kept arse, while American English dropped the R. This reflects how British English often dissolves R sounds except at word beginnings. Shakespeare likely exploited this similarity when naming Bottom in A Midsummer Night's Dream. Ass became taboo in the 1700s when bourgeois sensibilities began censoring body parts, creating euphemisms like derriere and bottom. Jewish culture contributed tuchus from Hebrew tachis, meaning under, which evolved into tushy. The suffix -ass with adjectives creates meanings beyond mere intensification. In big ass house, it conveys surprise rather than just size. You wouldn't say red ass piano to mean extremely red, but to express surprise at a red piano. In phrases like fire your ass functions as a pronoun, meaning you, effectively creating a parallel pronoun system in colloquial English. English uniquely lacks neutral terms for genitalia. We have formal Latin terms like penis and vagina, adopted in the 1600s, and vulgar slang, but no comfortable middle ground words. Renaissance privacy notions transformed once neutral Old English terms into profanity. Among numerous slang terms for the penis, dick has become dominant. It evolved from the nickname for Richard through medieval wordplay, later developing metaphorical meanings, nothing, and an obnoxious person. Vaginal terms often reference cats. Pussy first appears anatomically in 1699, a natural comparison given the texture, warmth, and private nature of both. It later evolved into a judgmental term for men perceived as lacking courage. Cunt became perhaps English's most taboo word, reflecting feminist consciousness about women's devaluation. It appears in early Middle English, with early instances showing clinical rather than profane use in medical texts around 1400. The N-word is modern English's most forbidden term. When Black Harvard professor Randall Kennedy titled his 2002 book using the actual word, he faced widespread condemnation. Public figures who use it face severe consequences. Michael Richards' career suffered after using it during a 2006 stand-up routine, even when quoting hypothetical speech. Its etymology comes from Latin's niger, black, via Spanish's negro, following natural patterns of English adaptation. The word's complete taboo status solidified in the late 20th century with Generation X, the first Americans raised entirely in the post-civil rights era, who viewed segregation as historical barbarism. The N-word has a complex history of appropriation among Black Americans. Like other marginalized groups who reclaim slurs, this usage creates intimacy by acknowledging shared vulnerability while asserting resilience. In modern Black English, the appropriated form functions as a pronoun, as in, a nigga haven't made myself breakfast yet, meaning I. Similarly, faggot evolved from a bundle of sticks to a medieval term for dummy soldiers to worthless person before being applied to gay men. Dyke has achieved notable success as an appropriated term, with many lesbians using it with genuine pride. Children's acquisition of profanity reflects historical evolution. Young children typically list bodily function words like poop and fart as bad words. They've moved beyond religious profanity, but haven't yet encountered slurs. Words like damn and hell have detached from their religious origins, demonstrating how language evolves with shifting social taboos. Profanity transforms from literal meanings to abstract grammatical functions, creating parallel systems alongside proper language. Profanity chronicles our changing values, from religious taboos to bodily privacy to concerns about marginalized groups. It serves as a linguistic fossil record, each forbidden word preserving the values of its era. These verbal rebels may be the most honest part of our language, revealing what we truly value, fear, and how we navigate emotion and social belonging.